Okay, good morning. it is so good to be here, really. I've been looking forward to this so much. And I'm very glad you blocked the view. I was thinking at home, I was thinking, how do I compete with the view? Who will listen to the sermon? The mountains are there, but then coming from Standerton, it's probably a different mindset concerning the mountains. I think you are used to them. So yes, it is great to be here. We had a great time yesterday. It was like a reunion. I saw so many people that I haven't seen, so many ladies and that I haven't seen for years. And all of them had children in between, and life has happened, and we are all still serving God, even stronger than we used to. That is a testimony. So let's quickly pray. Father, what a privilege to be here, Lord. God, what a privilege to see these mountains and know that the same God that created those mountains wants to do a work in our hearts this morning, Lord. Father, we worship you, Father, and our prayer this morning, God, is that you will come, Lord, and that you will reveal yourself, Lord. Father, no human being can do anything for another human being. We cannot heal each other. We cannot deliver each other. We cannot heal each other's sicknesses or diseases or marriages or failures. But Father, what we can all look to you, God, because you can do it, Lord. Father, and we worship you for that. And we ask this morning, God, that you will come, Father, and break every chain. In the name of Jesus, amen. The song that I woke up with this morning was that song by Jesus Culture that says, "There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain." I'm speaking about marriage this morning. I've been married for 12 years, and I am very, very extremely privileged to have married a man of God. But it hasn't been easy always. And I just want to share what God has placed on my heart. And before I do that, I just want to encourage you. You know, many times when we are together and we speak about something like marriage, then there could be the temptation to think that all those who are not married are excluded. But that is very far from the truth. There's a very broken world out there, and they need all the born-again Christians that are available to speak life to them. And just in my life, just a little testimony. One of my very best friends, Karen, many of you will know her, who lives in Australia. She's not married. She's round about my age. Most of my advice when we struggled in our marriage came from Karen. God just put a deposit of wisdom in her concerning marriage, and she's never been married, not for a day. So if you are here this morning, I want to encourage you, if you are not married, please open your heart, because I believe God wants to reveal something. You know, if any human being tries to reveal something, it is either entertainment or boring. many sermons are very entertaining and everybody feels good, but it means nothing. And before I came here and I was praying, and there's a lot of prayer. You know, if you have no idea about the Tannies in Standerton, you know Tanya Amanda. She's not the only one. There are more of them. If they pray for something, you are covered. There's a lot of prayer going into this church for this weekend. It is just a fact that God wants to come, and He wants to do it. And my prayer for this weekend was lasting fruit. My desire is that the word will go out, and that the fruit from the word this morning and the word this evening, and actually every word that comes from God, will produce lasting fruit. Not the seasonal, it is going better. You know, God, there are seasons, but there are some things where God wants to do a lasting work, and it's mostly a process, but we should be committed to that process. And that is the prayer for this morning, that I trust that God will reveal His heart, that it will be a lasting work. And a year or two from now, and 10 and 20 years from now, there will still be fruit. So that is where I'm coming from. The title for my message this morning is Take Pleasure in Your Lover. Does that sound good? I'll be quite open this morning. I don't have a problem with that. I hope you don't. That is my sister and brother-in-law. They got married recently. I thought that was a beautiful photo. I want to speak about marriage. I want to start with two scriptures. Song of Songs 2 verse 5. I'll read my scriptures from there. Is that okay? Okay. I had no printer when I, when I came here. I couldn't print. Okay. The first scripture that I want to start with is sustain me. These are two lovers speaking to each other. Obviously from the Song of Songs. This is to get you excited about the sermon. Sustain me with raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. Who of you want that in your marriage? Who of you want to be sick with love and stay in bed because you are sick with love? Another scripture, Songs of Solomon 2, another version of that same scripture, restore my strength with raisins and refresh me with apples. I am weak from passion. Now, obviously, raisins and apples was the ultimate in Bible times. Honey, milk. I'm sure we could replace that with many other things lately. I wouldn't pick raisins and apples. I would pick Cadbury's or something like that. But I just want to give you a picture before we go into this message. That is what we want. Can we all agree on that? Whether we've been married for 1 year or 10 years or 30 years, we want to come in that place where we are weak with passion and sick with love. And that is the way God intended for it to be. Now, let's start about speaking about why is marriage special? Now, we all know that weddings are special. We all love to go to weddings, and we all know the whole story. And we counted, Anton and I, and I think we counted that we've been to around about 70 to 80 weddings in our lifetime. We've been to so many weddings, and we did a couple of weddings. And we all know that weddings are special, but I don't want to speak about a wedding this morning. I want to speak about marriage. And I want to say that marriage is special. Now, why is marriage special? For many reasons, I want to mention a few. The first one, and probably the most important one, is that marriage is covenant. You know, when we are born-again Christians, we learn about covenant. Before we become reborn, we don't really know what covenant is. We don't really get much to do with it. But it is vital for us when we become born again to understand covenant. And marriage is covenant. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, when they cut covenant, we don't say they made covenant. We say they cut covenant. Then they would cut their wrists. I think most of you will know this from Bible school. They would cut their wrists there and they would mingle their blood. And then they would put ash in that wound to always remind themselves that my blood flows in you and your blood flows in me. Now, in biblical times, when two people got married, they had their first night of intimacy right there at the celebration. I'm very glad that changed. And there was a tent, which is not even soundproof. And then there, the man had to come out and show the blood of the virgin that has been broken. If there was no blood, there was very lots of trouble. Trouble. There had to be blood. It is the only relationship you will ever have on earth where there is a covenant and where there is blood. Now, it is not the same these days for very many reasons. There's not always a blood when we have intimacy for the first time, but it is the principle of covenant. And that is why marriage is such a serious thing. That is why we make that radical promise I will stick with you no matter what. And we have no idea what we are saying. But that is why it is so radical. Because it is covenant. And why covenant is so precious? It cannot be broken. If covenant was broken in Bible times, you were killed if you broke that covenant. Covenant cannot be broken. That means you will love that person through every single thing. Because you cannot leave that covenant. The second reason, a very precious reason, why marriage is so special, is you can be naked and not ashamed. Now, physically, there is no other relationship on this earth, no other biblical relationship in any way, in the way that God intended it for it to be, where you can be completely physically naked with somebody else and have your bodies against each other ever so often and not feel ashamed. But it is not just physical. You know, when you are married, you become naked to that person. They see you at your best. They see you more often at your worst. They smell your breath when you wake up. They see you before you put your makeup on. They see every single weakness. They see what you are trying to hide to the whole world. They see what no one else will believe about you. They believe it because they see it. They see every single weakness and they still choose to love you. Not even your best friend on this earth will see you like that because you don't live with them, you don't share a bed with them, you don't share a bathroom with them. They see everything. You are literally and figuratively speaking, you are naked. And you do not have to be ashamed because that person made a covenant with you. Thirdly, why is marriage special? Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 to 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Marriage is special because two are better than one. It is better, and we should not get confused. There is a calling of celibacy on some people's lives. And I have a whole sermon on that. And after that sermon, most people want to be single. And lots of people regret ever getting married because I couldn't probably say that, but that is probably the highest calling. That is the calling that Paul had on his life. Those are for the real radicals. But for most of us, in this life, it is better to walk with somebody else. It is better to have two than one. It is very precious. Then the fourth reason why marriage is special, and I love this, you have your own personal human being that only belongs to you. Not for sale. It's just your human being, and that will always be your human being. And Songs 2, Songs of Solomon 2, verse 16a says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." There is something extremely precious about you being mine and me being yours. You know, we had a couple in the previous church where we were, and the lady was quite big. And it was not extremely important to her what her hair looked like or, you know, her clothes. She was quite a plain Jane. And she was a very precious woman, very, very precious, loved person. And once we were a couple of people sitting together, and her husband looked at her with more love than I can even explain, and he took her hand, and he looked at everybody, and he said, "You know, she's not perfect, but she is mine." And something that I realize more and more, what makes marriage so precious, is that I can look at my husband and he can look at me and we can say, look, you are very far from perfect. I thought you were sort of maybe a little bit, but since we've got married, I realize you are everything but. But I love you. And I wouldn't trade you for anything because you are mine. And whether you pick up weight or not, whether you age, whether you get the wrinkles, I don't care. Whether you change after you have that baby and you never look the same again and you have the weight that you didn't have or the stretch marks, or whether for the men, that beautiful body becomes a little bit not so beautiful anymore. I don't care because you are mine. And I will never trade you. Okay, then another very real reason why marriage is special, and I really believe in this, and I believe that we could embrace this, is the fact that there's nothing else on earth that can teach us holiness like marriage. You know, I always say that when you go and spend time with God on the mountain for a week, it will be great. And you can hear God's voice and you can go and be separate yourself a little bit. But that will not make you holy. You become holy in the body of Christ, where people are together and people have to learn to get along. And that will bring you to holiness and so much more in marriage. Because now you are confronted with somebody's weaknesses and you have to live with it and you have to make that choice whether you are going to love unconditionally or not. And, you know, I always laugh when I see young married couples starting, and not all of them have. Believe me, that couple that you saw there in the beginning, it is amazing how they just immediately embraced each other. But some couples really have a time of getting, most of us take a while to get used to each other. And I think one of the things that really is difficult to get used to when you are married, when you get married at first especially, then you learn to how to deal with it, is the fact that now there's somebody else that became your identity. I mean, if you are a woman, literally you lose your surname. You don't even have your own surname and you have to give it up. You take on somebody else's identity. And then that person would do something that you would never do. But now it is almost like I am him and he is me because we became one now. And whenever somebody sees Christelle, then they think Anton. I mean, we are together. We are a couple. So now Anton does something that I would never do. He says something that I would never say, and I don't relate to that, and it completely freaks me out. And I spoke to a lady who was just married, a very good friend, and she was going through a tough time, and she was very upset about something that her husband did that she would never do. And she spoke to me, and she said to me, I said to him, I will never leave you, but I will hate you. You know, and we learn to work through all of these emotions, getting to the place where we can love unconditionally. And when our husband or our wife does something or dresses in a way that we would never do and that we do not approve of, we love them. We still love them. And 10 years and 20 years and 30 years down the line, we couldn't care less what they do or don't do because we just love them. It teaches us holiness, just like children. Who can agree with me? Children teaches you holiness. I mean, they push every boundary until it can't be pushed anymore. There's no other way. If you want to raise successful children, you have to become holy. You have to learn the fruit of the Spirit. You have to learn to be patient and loving and kind when all you want to do is sometimes just, you know, strangle them. But there's that love as well that is driving you not to do it. And you learn to become holy. So that is just the foundation to remind us why marriage is special. Because sometimes we forget. And this is just for us to remember and to know and to understand when God invented marriage, He really invented something that is probably the most special thing, together with having children, that we will ever experience on this earth. Apart from experiencing God Himself. And if we are not married, there is a lot to pursue. I am not saying it is the ultimate thing. It is not the ultimate thing. But it is the one relationship that can be more fulfilling than any other earthly relationship that we can ever have if we understand it and attempt it in the way that God and the Word of God is teaching us to. Now, I want to move on to how do we take pleasure in each other? When one speaks about marriage, you need at least 3 days. You probably need 7 days. So having an hour, and I'll try to stick to an hour, I promise. Having an hour, I might not, but I'll try. An hour sermon is quite challenging. And one must get to the bottom of things to touch on the most important things that people can take and learn from that you can cover in 1 hour. So to me, as I was just praying about what to cover in this little time that I have, I just realized that when we speak about a wife and a husband and how do we take pleasure in each other year in and year out and month in and month out and week in and week out, when life happens and children happen and finances happen and whatever it may be, and you are older and your children are going to university and it's another new phase in your life, and how do we remain in that place of taking pleasure in each other? And I believe that would be by constantly and always meet each other's needs. If you have 2 people and both are focused on meeting the other one's need as often as I can, as much as I can, you have a recipe for success. You have a very blessed marriage. And it is not easy to know how to do it because the Word of God teaches us. And we can always go back to the Word. The Word is our foundation, and we will always know from the Word what to do. So what I want to speak about this morning is, what is a husband's greatest need and what is a wife's greatest need? And how can we meet that need according to the Word of God? And I want to say that, you know, when we apply the Word, it works. And when we speak about marriage, and some of you might be a little bit shocked or disappointed by this, but many people who do not even know God, who do not even have a relationship with God, apply biblical principles and they have very good marriages. Because the Word of God is powerful. Many businesses apply Christian principles and the business is going very well. Because it works. It works. And what we can learn from the Word, and when we apply it and when we choose to apply it. And I want to encourage you, if you can be here this evening, I will speak about that and choosing to apply the Word of God and choosing to renew our minds. But when we do that, it really brings life. You know, when the Word speaks about life and life in abundance, it really is the truth. And I always say the Bible is like a magic book. It really, to me, is like a magic book because it is just a book. It is just a book. You know, some religions respect the physical book so much. You're not allowed to put it on the floor like I did. You know, but the Bible, it's not about the book. It's about what is in that book. And when you start to apply it, it comes alive. And when it comes alive, you are like, "Woo, wow, that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing." And it is the same when we apply these things in marriage. Now, let's move on to, can we start with the men? Because Adam was created first, so we will start with the men. What is a husband's greatest need? We really covered this yesterday with the ladies. I won't go as deep as I did then. But what is a husband's greatest need? Now, according to the word, according to what I have just learned from my experience being married and speaking to many people, I know for sure that a husband's greatest need is for respect. A man wants to be respected. But if we can take it, and we'll get back to this, but if we can take it a little bit further. Now, let me say this before I start. There are exceptions to every rule. And one can never in one sermon cover every exception. It's not possible. So I'm going to speak not to the exceptions to the rule, even though it will still be biblical principles. But if I say this morning that 95 or maybe 98% or maybe 99.9% of men in this world, their greatest need in marriage is for sexual intimacy. That I believe, and I believe that that the respect that a man wants and the respect that really ministers to his heart and makes him feel like the head of the home and the priest of the home, I believe that respect comes in many ways and in many measures. But I believe the greatest measure is in the sexual relationship with the wife. Now, why? Because, and I'll tread carefully. I will tread carefully because this is a sensitive thing that I'm speaking about. But I have learned that for a man, his sexuality is a very vulnerable place. And his desire to be intimate with his wife ever so often is very much linked to his identity. And that vulnerability that a man has and would probably never admit in words, that is a great need. And if a wife can recognize that and understand that and meet that need, not because she has to, but because she wants to. And because it is a pleasure for her and because it is a joy for her, that man will become everything that he can be. And I have seen this in my own marriage. You know, I have a little magazine that I get every month. The name of the magazine is Above Rubies. Any women here who know the magazine? Nobody. Wow. It's about being a mother and a wife. It's a little Christian magazine. It is extremely blessed. And there are a lot of principles that is constantly taught in this little magazine. And one of the things that they teach is that the father and the husband and the father, he is the one in the household who is the king and the priest, and he should be treated as such. He is the man. And I told the ladies yesterday, in one of those little magazines, there was a letter that a lady wrote, and she said, my husband is a janitor at work. That is his job. And in the workplace, he doesn't earn much respect. He's the least of the least. Nobody pays, they don't even know his name. They don't even pay any attention to him. But when he walks into this house, he is the man. And before he comes home, and she's able to do that because she doesn't work. She's at home, which is a blessing. But she says before he comes home, the children are ready. They are bathed. They are clean. The food is ready. And when he comes into the house, they all run to the door and they embrace him because the king is home. The priest is home. And they all take him to the table. And I always want to cry when I speak about this. They take him to the table. He's already laid with flowers and it's beautiful. And there's not even much money there being a janitor, but it's precious. And he sits down and they all are around him and they all honor him because he is the man of the house. And he gets the first portion of food and he gets the biggest portion of food. And everybody wants to know, how was your day, Daddy? Because he is the man. And I have learned that men out there are so desperate for their wives to recognize their manhood. And how do we recognize their manhood? We recognize it by blessing them in their greatest need. And I said to the ladies yesterday, and I learned this the hard way, I said to them yesterday, never judge your husband's need for intimacy, for physical intimacy. Never judge it. It is precious. It is a gift from God. And that is your greatest key. That is the way. And I shared with them, you know, when I am together with my husband in intimacy, I say to him, you are such a man of God. I could never want or ask for anybody else because I would never be able to love anybody and respect anybody and honor anybody the way that I love and honor you, because you are just the greatest. You know, when a husband experiences that kind of respect from his wife, he can do anything. He can do anything that he sets his mind on. And let me tell us this morning, church, there's a world out there who is in desperate need of heroes. Not the superheroes that we see on the movies. Heroes who will go out and change the world by being a testimony, by loving people, by bringing solutions where nobody else has the solutions. Those are the men that we should send out of our houses every morning. We should send them out sexually satisfied. And if we are not managing, then we should come to God and we should come to the secret place and we should trust God to help us. And there is a lot to say about that, and I can't cover that right now. But we should come to that place where we can trust God to bring us women to a place where we can honor our husbands. And what if there is nothing to respect or honor? Then we go to God and we say, God, I will honor him because he is mine. He's not the way I wanted him to be. He doesn't seem to be deserving of me loving him in that way, but I will do it because he is mine. And ladies, I am challenging you to this. Try it and see how it works for you. That man will become a better father. That man will become much better at whatever it is he's doing to provide for you and your family. That man will not want to stay at work until 8 o'clock. He will want to be with you and his children because he wants to be where he is the king. He wants to be where he is the priest. He wants to be in the place where he is recognized for who God made him to be. And that goes for every single man. God gave us, ladies, God gave us the ability to love them and serve them. And there are many things that we can do. We can look good to bless them with that. And we can cook in a way that they love. And we can serve them. But ultimately, they don't care that much. They care about that very physical, but even more than physical, that very emotional need that they have. And we should meet that need. And I am so aware of the fact that when we come to God and we ask him to help us in an area that is so vital for his kingdom, he is faithful to do that. Because a man who is sexually satisfied is very eager to worship God. Let's not get religious about these things. That is the way it works. That is why Theo says the men really enjoyed the worship in the church this morning. Because a man who is satisfied, and again, sexual intimacy for men is not just a physical thing like so many women think. On the contrary, it is a very deep emotional need. And God gave us the ability to love them and to meet that need, regardless of our weight, regardless of our program, regardless of our issues. And I said to the ladies yesterday, and I would so love it if the men could agree with me this morning, because I'm not a man, but I said to them, I suspect that there are so many men out there, especially godly Christian men, but not even. I suspect that there are so many men out there who wants to cry out to their wives, just get over yourself and get over the fact that you are overweight. I love you the way that you are. It turns me on when you undress, because I love you and you satisfy me. And the word says, drink water from your own well, meaning go to your own wife and let her breasts satisfy you. And so many women will not allow themselves to bless their husbands with their bodies because they are insecure. And if somebody can just get it into their heads, their husbands love them the way that they are. And you know, that weight that you picked up because you had a baby, that doesn't only belong to you. It belongs to him as well. It is his children that you were bringing with a lot of pain into this world. Those stretch marks, your skin that is not the same. My one friend had the most beautiful curls, and then she had a baby, and whoo, the curls just all vanished. And now her hair is as flat as you can imagine, the flattest hair I've ever seen. You know, we change when we have children. And whatever the changes are, that belongs to your husband as well. And if you can love yourself for it, he will most probably also be able to love you for it. Amen. Let's read a scripture. I first want to read a scripture that is not up there. From the Message translation, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16. It says, and this is beautiful. It says, there's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much a spiritual mystery as it is a physical fact. As is written in Scripture, the two become one. Isn't that amazing? You know what happens when two people become one sexually? They become one emotionally. They even, in a sense, become one spiritually. That is why it is so devastating to have a sexual relationship with somebody that never made a covenant with you. That is why the rejection is so severe, because you became one. And as much as it is needed for a man to experience becoming one, very often it is for the woman. Because for her, it is an emotional thing more than a physical thing, even though it is very physical for both of us. And the more physical, obviously, the better and the greater. But for the woman, it is that emotional thing that she experiences perhaps more than the physical thing. But that is the becoming one, and God wants to bless that. And I told the ladies yesterday, I said, the one area of my life that gets the most prayer covering, it is my sexual relationship with my husband. Because that is indeed, in our marriage, the most important thing. So we can skip bathing the kids, we can skip whatever, but we will make this a priority. Because when we have unity in that place, we are effective for God. There is a world out there in desperate need of God. It is a very small percentage of people who live like us. Most don't have food. Most don't have beds or a car or a roof over their heads. We are called to them. It is easy to do that, if we are safe in our marriage relationships. And really my prayer for this church specifically this morning is that the marriages will be so beautiful and so solid, and the men and the women will be so satisfied that when people come in here, they will just feel it and they will be welcome, because there is a security here, because it brings security. The world is in desperate need of security. I want to read another scripture, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3 to 5. Let the husband give to the wife proper kindness, and likewise the wife also to the husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife. Do not deprive one another, unless it is with consent for a time, so that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you for your incontinence. The word is very clear. Do not deprive one another. Fulfill one another's sexual need. It will bring life. Now, I said to the ladies yesterday, I said, you can claim that you are too exhausted to have sex with your husband, especially if your children are small. But you pay the price for a man that is sexually frustrated. And that will exhaust you 10 times more. Or you can choose to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart to still bless that man, even though you work, even though you have children, to still love him with your body, and you will benefit every step of the way, because that man will actually change the nappies. He will actually make the bottles, because he is sexually satisfied. That man is not stupid. He can see my wife is exhausted. She doesn't wear any makeup anymore for months now. She is beyond, but she still makes time to love me with her body. She still makes time to respect me and to make me feel that I am the king of this house and the priest of this house. And for that, he will honor you. It is very beneficial to meet each other's needs. It is very precious. And once again, I will say, it will bring life. Okay, there's a lot more to say, but I will move on. Let's speak about a wife's greatest needs. A wife's greatest need. I want to read to you from 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Why does the word tell us, men, why does the word tell men to live with their wife with understanding? Because it is difficult for men to understand their wives. Any men can agree with me? Now, a man cannot understand why you can cry and cry and cry over you don't know what you are crying about. And then they are trying to give you a solution to the problem that they don't know what it is. And then you are so upset with them for interfering with their crying. But they don't want you to leave. You should be there while they are crying with him. It makes no sense. It is so precious that the word, that God is very aware of this. God is very aware of this. And in the Trinity, many times the Holy Spirit is compared to the wife. You know, we have the Father and the Son. And that is because, we read in the Word the Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit will never force himself. He is gentle. He will never force himself. Now, a wife is a vulnerable thing, an emotional thing, and it is very difficult for men to figure that out. So that is why the Word says, just walk with her with understanding. Now, how do you do that, men? You love her throughout all the ups and the downs. You love her when it makes no sense to you what on earth is going on. A wife has a very deep need to be understood. Can the wives agree with me? A very great need to be loved when they don't feel worthy of love. You know, there are so many lies that Satan comes with to women. So many lies that we have to bat every single day. You are not pretty, and the media does nothing to help us. You are not pretty enough. You are not thin enough. You are not good enough. You are not a good mother. You are not a good wife. We have to resist these lies, and we become very vulnerable when we have children. And everything changes. Our, you know, when we have children, we completely become focused, our whole being, and that is just nature. We don't even choose to be like that. Our whole being is geared towards this new life that we produced, and we forget everything else. And there's a place where a man must understand, when my wife burns the food, or when something falls and she just starts crying, or when she's seemingly hysterical about nothing, it is because her whole body and her whole mind is trying to bring it all together and do it in a perfect way. And something that I don't think men realize, and again, I would love it if the ladies would agree with me. If you don't agree, you don't have to. But wives have a desperate need to please their husbands. And you know where it started? It started when Eve ate the stupid apple. And God said, you will yearn after your husband. It started there. So some women are very strong. Think about somebody like Helen Ziller. Very strong. I can guarantee you she yearns after her husband. Not all of us are obviously the weaker vessel. Some wives does not seem like the weaker vessel at all. But I can assure you, Joyce Meyer yearns after her husband. There is a place in our hearts where we are so desperate for our husbands to approve of us. And when a husband looks at his wife and he says, you really need to lose weight, they have no idea what they are doing to us. When a husband looks at his wife and he says, you really need to pull yourself together, you are not walking with your wife with understanding. You know what you will do? You will just crush her. But when you come to her, as tired as you are of whatever it is, and there is a place to speak firmly, I totally agree. But more often than not, you will come to her and you hold her. And you love her. And I'm not speaking about sex, men. I'm speaking about holding her and loving her and looking into her eyes and tell her, like that song says, and when I see your face, there is not a thing that I would change, because girl, you are amazing, amazing, just the way you are. If a wife is vulnerable, which we are so often, and the most vulnerable area for a wife is that yearning for her husband's approval. You know, I can preach a sermon like this, and I can get lots of commentary, but I really care what my husband thought, because ultimately, I want to please him. He is the one that I want to please. He is the one. If he says, well done, then I know. If he says to me, you are beautiful, you are perfect. And if he meets that great need in me to be loved and to be admired just the way that I am right here, right now, then I will want to do anything for him, especially in the bedroom. I will want to bless him. I will want to have sexual intimacy with him, because I feel so safe with him. There's nothing more difficult for a woman. Men, please open your ears. There's nothing more difficult for a wife than to be sexually intimate with a man who is not loving her. It is very hard. It is very hard. If you want your wife to bless you in that area of your greatest need, then you should in turn do what does not maybe come natural to you.
and love her and help her. Many times when a wife says, can you please cook this evening? Or can you please bath the baby? You know what she's actually telling you? You know, men are very weird. Men think, she wants me to bath the baby. They don't think anything further than that. What you don't realize is she's telling you, I am really emotionally tired. I really want to be a good mother and a good wife, but there's so much pressure on me, and I really need you to be there for me. Such a desperate need. And men can really perhaps sometimes just not see it at all. Let's look at another scripture, Colossians 3 verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. It is so precious that God knew that a wife has this vulnerability in her, and that husbands should understand. Now, why does the word say it again? Because there is a temptation to be harsh with her. There is a temptation to say, kom, ruk nou net jouself reg, liewe aarde. But understand that wife, if you love her, if you are kind towards her, if you walk with her with understanding and you are not harsh with her, she will do anything for you. The word says the wife is the helper, the helpmate. This is every wife's deep down. Some may deny it, some may not believe it, some may suppress it. This is our deepest desire, to help our husbands to become what God has called them to become. And in that place, we become what God has called us to become. You know, when Anton and I got married, I said to God, God, I also have a calling. I also have destiny. What about me? Now I have to serve him and I have to bless him. And what about me? And you know, God was so amazingly gentle with me. But I discovered 12 years along the line, I am released to do what my heart's desire is when I firstly submit to my own husband. And I help him, because that is my primary calling. I help him to become everything that God has called him to become. And that is the place that is created for me, that place of submission. That is my safe place in which I can become whatever I need to become. I mean, you know, before I came here, Anton was here also, and he came on Thursday evening, and I flew on early Friday evening, Friday morning early. And on Thursday evening, I had so much to do, and I was a little bit stressed because I had to organize the children and do so much. And, pardon? Five. I have five children. And I was waiting for the reaction, and I got it. And Anton said, we must all go and sit. And I was thinking, I don't have time for this. I have to pack. I have to prepare. I have to pack for the children. And he said to me, just sit. So I sat there, and the kids, we all sat there. And then he came with the bucket and the water and the oil and the perfume. And he said, we are going to anoint mommy now, because she's going to minister the word. And we need her to go and change the world. So we are going to anoint her feet and pray for her, that God will bless her. That comes from a place of first seeing that the man that God gave me can be free to fly as God is calling him to fly. Let's read another scripture, Ephesians 5 verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You know what Christ did for the church? What did he do for the church? He died. He gave everything. He served. He didn't have a comfortable life. He had a very uncomfortable life that ended in death on a cross after being tortured beyond recognition. Now men, the word says love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That is not a man who says you should submit. That is not that. It is a man who is on his knees before his wife, anointing her feet to do what she has to do. It is a man who says, I will change the nappy. I will cook. I will serve you. I will give myself to you. It doesn't come natural. I don't necessarily feel like doing it, but I will serve you because you are my helpmate. And you help me, and I am going to serve you for that, and I am going to bless you for that. And if both parties can understand God's heart, we will have very near to perfect marriages in our churches. The world is desperate to see something that works. We have every key. We have everything that we need to be able to do it. Let's move on. This is the last bit of my sermon. I just want to share a little bit of golden lessons in marriage, which might not be new to most of us, but I'm trusting that we will be reminded and that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us in a greater measure. Now, the first golden lesson that we all know, that we have all experienced in marriage, I'm sure, the Word of God says, do not let the sun set on your anger. That sounds lovely. And one can apply it until you get married. And then it becomes a great challenge. You know, I have a husband who is very much fixed on the Word of God and nothing else. He is a radical. So he believes, do not let the sun set over your anger, regardless of anything. So we would be angry at each other, and the sun has set already, so it's already a problem. But now we're not allowed to sleep until we have resolved this thing 100%. Now, this is a bit weird, because I asked other women, and most of them say their husbands are not that big on communicating. You know, they would might be the ones that just sleep. In our case, it is exactly the opposite. So all I want to do is sleep. You know, because I know now I'm going to let the sun set on my anger, but I know that God will forgive me. And His grace is new every morning. And I am exhausted, and I have no strength whatsoever to speak about this issue now. But my husband is relentless. So this is what he would do. We would go to bed, and I would close my eyes. And I'm normally so exhausted, it doesn't matter how big the issue is, I can sleep. I can always sleep. So I fall asleep feeling very unsettled, but I fall asleep. And then I wake up to the sound of him. And then I think, yeah, it's coming. Another sigh, another sigh. Then his hand is going to come, and he's going to hold me, because he wants to resolve things in a loving way. And then I will have to open my eyes and speak. And then it comes. His hand, he's holding me. And I'm thinking, God, help me. And then it comes. Skat, ons moet praat oor hierdie ding. And then I think, the freaking sun has set, and he won't leave it until it's sorted. And then we sit there for 2 hours, and then we resolve it. And then we have the best intimate times that we've had ever. And we wake up the next morning more in love than we've ever been. And we are the happiest parents that there ever was. And I'm not even exhausted anymore, because we resolved it. One of the biggest issues in marriage are issues that are not being resolved. That is why the word says, Do not let the sun set over your anger. Resolve it. And when we are committed, and it takes a lot of self-discipline, it takes a lot of help from the Holy Spirit, but when we are committed to resolve the issues when they come along, then we really are working on a recipe for success. And the second thing that comes with that is forgiveness. You know what the word says? The word says, do not keep record of wrong. What does that mean? That means you are not allowed, when you have an argument with your husband, to mention anything that was already forgiven. My husband can do that. I promise you, it is supernatural, but he will never, ever mention anything from the past, because this is a new issue. This is a new issue. And when he says, I forgive you, then he does, and it is forgotten. One of the biggest problems why people get divorced is because unforgiveness, a new layer of unforgiveness, a new layer of unforgiveness, and you have a couple of layers of unforgiveness, it becomes a very thick wall that cannot be broken. It is called bitterness. Bitterness causes many divorces. Do not allow bitterness to set in. Do not go the route where you have to be on your knees at a marriage counselor trying to sort things out. Solve it when it is at hand. How can we do that? We have the helper. You know, we did the module on the Bible school, in Bible school on the Holy Spirit recently. And I was so aware again of that Jesus said, I send you a helper. And it's funny how I find myself lately when I pray, I don't speak about the Holy Spirit sometimes. I speak about the helper. And I say, God, will you send the helper right here, right now to solve this issue now? Helper, help me right here, right now to forgive today. And in a week, when that grudge wants to come back, the helper is there to supernaturally help us. The helper. We underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. There is one condition for the Holy Spirit to work. Only one condition. We should choose to ask Him. We should choose to trust Him. Once we choose to ask Him, once we choose to trust Him, then He comes. He is faithful. And your marriage will become like a tree with good fruit. And you know what? That tree will give shade to many. The fruit will be eaten by many. That is what God wants for His church. That is why He likens His relationship with the church. He says, I am the bridegroom and you are the bride. And go and read in the Old Testament how often, go and read in Ezekiel and some other books, how often God would use sexual language when He speaks about His bride. Because there is a great intimacy. A great intimacy. And I see that God wants these juicy, beautiful, big fruits to grow on our marriages all over the churches. That will be one of the things that will draw the broken and the desolate and those who are in desperate need of deliverance. They will come and they will say, it is out there and I see it and it is real and I want it. It can only come from God. It can only come from God. I'm almost finished. My very last scripture. Songs 1 verse 16. That is my mother. I don't want to say in-law because she's like my real mother. But that is Anton's mom that is sitting there. That is my father who died fairly recently. And I chose that picture because there was a marriage which was like a big tree with lots of fruit. And I'm so amazed when I look at my mother. I look at her three children who are married. And I look at the two, or the one son-in-law and the other son-in-law-to-be, most probably we are all waiting. We are all, nobody is discussing it with them, but we are all waiting for them to announce that they will get married. It seems like it's going to happen. But I just see the fruit of a good marriage in the marriages that are to follow. I just see the blessing coming down of good marriages. And the scripture there, and another reason why I chose that picture is you see all the green that is in Scotland. And the scripture there is Song of Songs 1 verse 16. Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. Our bed is green. Our marriage is green. I want you to think of your marriage right now in terms of a tree. And I want you to think, what does that tree look like? Is it dry? Is it half dead? Does it have a little bit of fruit, but the fruit is not fully developed? Does it give shade, or is it only good enough just for you and your husband? What does that tree look like? Because I can assure you this morning, God wants to give you trees like that. God wants to give you a green bed, obviously speaking about sexual intimacy, and a green marriage, a marriage that will forever be green, like trees who stay green during the winter. Marriages that will forever be green. And remember what I said when we started. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There really is. Can you give me another 5 minutes? May I ask Theo, is it okay if all the married people can just stand and hold hands? All the married people, I just want to pray over you. I want to ask you, if you are not married, can you just stretch out your hands to those who are standing? I really believe that it is the purpose of God to restore everything that needs to be restored and to go way beyond restoration, way beyond, and give life and life in abundance. And you know, yesterday I said to the ladies, I wonder why God chose me to speak to you about marriage. But actually I know why. Because God loves it to use broken vessels. And I am a very broken vessel. We have had some very tough times in our marriage. And there were times when I really wanted to walk out. But you know what? God is so good. Today I am standing here, and I would never, not for one second, ever consider leaving behind what is the most precious thing in my life. And my prayer this morning is that I can do nothing for you. Neither can Theo, neither can Yaku. But God can do anything. The word says everything is possible. And my prayer this morning is that God will visit, in a sense, visit every couple that is standing here. And He will bring you to that place where you will have such intimacy. Men, where you will not look at other women anymore or look at pornography or fantasize, but you will go home and drink sweet, life-giving water from your own well. Let her breast satisfy you. Where women, you will go home and you will be understood. And you will see a man who doesn't have no clue what's going on in your head, but he still loves you. He's not harsh with you. He still loves you. I want to say before I pray over the marriages, if there's one thing that Satan wants to destroy desperately, it is our marriages, especially in church. So don't look at the world and envy good marriages. They are not under attack as much. All marriages are under attack. Satan hates a covenant. But I can assure you that the Christian marriages, and especially marriages that really have a heart after God, it is under constant attack. How do we keep the enemy out by having unity, by being one. By being one. So I want you to just close your eyes. I just want to pray over every couple that is here, and just trust God to reveal Himself to us. Father, there's nothing more precious this morning than Your presence. God, whether we are married or not, whether we have children or not, whether we are rich or poor or tall or short, whatever our circumstances may be, God, nothing, Father, will ever be greater or more important or more precious than Your presence, Lord. Because in Your presence, there is fullness of joy. Because in Your presence, we are healed and we are delivered, Father, and all this baggage that we have been dragging with us can just fall off so that we can lift our hands to worship You, so that there are no more chains, Father. So, Father, I want to bring as a broken vessel, Father, I come to You this morning with a testimony of what You have done for me in my marriage, Lord. And I bring every single marriage that is here this morning. I bring it before You, Lord. We bring it before You, Father. Father, we want to pray for every individual that I might not even know, but You know them, God. You know them, Father. You know them through and through. And Father, this morning, I want to prophesy over these marriages. Restoration in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to prophesy over them. No more difficulty, no more pain, no more brokenness, but life and life in abundance. Father, I want to speak over them, Father. That they will choose to walk worthy of the calling that You have placed on every marriage. Father, that they will choose to apply every life-giving principle that You give to us in Your Word, Father. And that they will pick the fruit of a beautiful green marriage. Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to help us every second of every day to love, to forgive, to cover a multitude of sin. And Father, this morning our spouse stands next to us and there is a multitude of sin. But Father, that is for every one of us, God. We all have a multitude of sin, but we thank You, God, that love covers a multitude of sin. And Father, ultimately this morning, we thank You for the blood of Jesus that brought power to break every chain. And Father, this morning we want to expose the strategy of the enemy to come against us by destroying our marriages. And Father, we thank You, God, that the unity between us will be so great that we will be able to keep the enemy out 100%, Lord. That we will be covered with Your protection, Father. Thank You, God, that You will protect us, Father. Father, and we pray, God, that this church will become like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, Father. We thank You, God, that every marriage that is here today, and that even those who are not here, Father, that it will become like the salt, Father. The salt, Father, that brings change. Father, we worship You for that, Lord Jesus. Father, and I thank You, God, for green beds. Father, I thank You for restoring sexual brokenness to the extent where it becomes the greatest joy and the greatest blessing and the greatest privilege. Father, we worship You. We bless You, God. If you can just hug each other and kiss each other and appreciate each other for a brief moment. And I want you to look at that spouse and realize, this is my perfect gift. This is my perfect gift. Amen. Thank you.